Today, ladies and gentlemen, I have the pleasure of chatting and having a conversation with two men who I believe watched the movie Top Gun and thought, yeah, that's me. Maverick and Goose. But being the Indige boys that yous are, I've given yous the names Wichiti and Rooboy. And I'll let yous fight over those action dramatic names. They're for yours. Everybody from a Wobblepod land from all around the world, we welcome Sergeant Grant Biles and the one and only, the man who has all the responsibility of looking after all the boys, the one and only Matt J. Roberts, the RAF-based Williamtown Indigenous Liaison Officer. That's a mouthful. How are you, boys?
Very good, thank you. Thanks for having us here.
That's not a problem at all. RAF base Williamtown up on Warramai Country. It's all going well up there?
It's going extremely well. Love it. Love being close to home and, yeah.
Good.
Yeah, it's going great. We've got a great relationship with the Warramai. We're trying to push that out into the Wanneroo and the Awabakal this year and continue our relationships with the First Nations people of Newcastle and Port Stephens area.
And we have, as I said, we were talking earlier about the Christmas hampers, which we have done with you guys and also with, I think it's Shane Cox?
Shane Cox from Defence Force Recruiting.
Yeah, we've had them in the past too. So let's just start off with you, Matt. Where are you from and all that, and how did you end up here?
So I'm a Bundjalung man on my mother's side. I'm from Lismore. Moved down to Sydney when I was about 8, and then moved back up to Newcastle when I was about 15. Been here ever since. Lucky enough to work with the Department of Education for 7 years, and then meet a lot of community members throughout that role. Met a lot of the guys at Maruk Cultural Centre and also some of the Awabakal people as well. And was lucky enough to hear about this opportunity with the Air Force, and I took the opportunity by both hands and was lucky enough to get it. Yeah.
Grant, yourself?
Well, my mob's from Brawarana, so Nambara and Murawari country.
Okay with that?
Yes. So obviously Newcastle, big Bree influence here.
Yes,
so
there is.
Absolutely there is. So many great families that come out of there. So essentially mum dragged dad out of Bree and me and my sister, and we came back to mum. Mum's from Newcastle, so we ended up here and reconnected with awesome community families, the Gordons, Eastwoods, so many, Kenny Weatherall's down here, and Sean Skewthorpe does a lot of great stuff with the schools, and along that journey get to meet the awesome Smith family and all of them, and just great to be a part of this community, right?
So we go way back, I kind of, you know, you've known someone for a long time and you can't remember meeting them.
Yeah, so, I think I had a fringe. Definitely had a fringe. So.
You had a lot of hair back then. Parted on the side too. So the history with our families is, my father worked at Awabakal as the coordinator of the medical centre when it first started. And your mother, God bless her soul, she scared me, man. She's always scary. She's always say, Mr. Smith. Come here.
Yeah, Sandy B. Yeah, what a personality, yeah. Right?
And your father, obviously you've taken more after your father, and your sister's probably a little bit more like our mother.
Hope so, yeah. Yeah, that's good, yeah. So dad was, he got into Awabakal as a board member and a former chairperson himself.
Yeah.
And just watching the journey of Awabakal grow.
Yeah,
It's been massive. From that centre in Lang Street in Broadmeadow to where it is now, it's a big leap. That's awesome.
Yeah. Do you remember when it was over at the old train sheds at back, and the dental was an old caravan when they had those old chairs that you had to pump with your foot? Now if you go over there's two dental, like all decked out.
It's legit now, so
yeah
it's awesome. Yeah.
It's great. It's really, really grown. It's great to see. Let's get into this. So I've already asked. So let's talk now about your job. What is your role, Matt? As I said, you're the liaison officer.
Yeah.
Give us more about that.
So as the Indigenous liaison officer for RAF Base Williamtown, my role falls into 5 different categories. So that's the first one be recruiting, second one retention, making sure we're retaining our members. Third and fourth is community engagement and cultural guidance. And then the last one is making sure that what we do is reflected in our policy. So making sure that members such as myself and Grant have access to cultural leave when needed and stuff like that. So ensuring that the policy is done to support the initiatives that we're implementing at a base level.
Okay. So when you said recruiting, so is there, what's the staff? So are you only just have a role with just Williamtown?
Yeah, so I represent Williamtown, but then there's also other Indigenous liaison officers at all of our respective bases, and we form what's called the Indigenous Liaison Officer Network.
Oh, yeah.
So nationally, we oversee what strategically we're pumping out at all our different bases and try to make sure that it's aligned with the direction the Air Force and both the ADF are heading towards. So recently, there's been a big push for Indigenous engagement, ensuring that all the stuff that we do is culturally appropriate and following certain protocols. So having Indigenous members who are culturally connected in these positions really is at the forefront of what we're trying to do as an Air Force. Yeah, so recruiting's a big one. We work closely with Defence Force Recruiting. Shane Cox, who you've probably met, very close with Shane, and we support all the initiatives to make sure that we're recruiting the best person for the job. And we're also implementing different initiatives to make sure that we've got different pathways and different options for some of our members. So members from one community who might not be willing to move away or might not have that support network, we can make sure that their first posting is relatively close to where their family and that support network is. And that's just one initiative where we're supporting our members to ensure that they're successful.
Yeah. How many Indigenous officers are there in Australia with the RAF?
Oh, that's a really good question.
What about New South Wales?
I don't even think I'd be able to give you a rough estimate off the top of my head. It's one of those things that's forever changing.
Oh, yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
Just recently I've heard that we've got two new officers coming through the Newcastle Defence Force Recruiting Office, which is really good. So the number I give you might be different tomorrow. It might be 9 extra people, and that's what we want, continually striving to employ the right people for the job, and especially within the officer category itself.
Yeah.
I mean, we, you know, pushing to try to get more Indigenous officers, so that way our members, our Indigenous members, can then be in those positions of power and those positions of a manager or supervisor and such.
Grant, yourself, as we've established, we go way back. I even just remembered I sung at your wedding.
Oh, yes. Yes. Yeah.
I want to stand with you on a mountain.
Yes,
we won't get too much. Thank you for that smile, Helen. I can see.
Yeah, go way
but,
back.
But I think it wasn't long after that, or maybe around then, I heard you was doing mechanical work like with Qantas or something. You were with them for a while?
Yeah, so my aviation journey started in 1992.
Yeah.
So, I came in, my application was 2 weeks late, and within 2 weeks after the application, I was living in Sydney and working at Qantas as part of their apprenticeship program. And,
that's right, yeah.
And, stayed there till late 96 and came home to get married. I wasn't... no intention of living in Sydney for the rest of my life. But my journey into the Air Force, I did a few things, worked for BHP, worked as a postman for a while there. So those poor little bikes copped a flogging with me on them. So rocked up to the recruiting and I went back in as an aircraft technician mechanical. So, or an ATEC we call it. And from there it's been onward and upwards, so yeah, it's been awesome.
So give me a little bit more detail. So what would it be an average day for you, or even a crazy day?
A crazy day? So I'm very fortunate. I'm learning something new. I've been on fighter jets my whole career with the Air Force. So on F-18, the classic Hornet, which is just, we'll probably talk about them later, but we've just phased them out, and I'm working on the new Joint Strike Fighter, the F-35. So for myself, learning something new and taking those skills that we've established over quite a number of years, won't give you the amount, but a good number of years, establishing those skills on a new platform and, again, re-engaging myself to learning something new. So, yeah, it's been awesome. It's been a wild time, so... for myself, I work on the front line of flight line, where the aircraft are launched and recovered, and the background maintenance behind those, and have an awesome support team bringing us up to speed, and a good amount of mentors that shape us in the right way, how we need to be.
Cool. Matt, you were saying about all the different roles that you, well, that you have to do, all the different things you have to do within your role.
Yep.
I come from the education department before working at a Warbickle and used to go quite a few careers day. Anyone thinking about joining the Air Force or any of our Defence Force, is it something that's easy, or is it, what kind of mind frame should they have going if they're thinking about applying to get into the Air Force or the RAF?
I think for me at least, research was a big thing. Before joining the defence, I didn't really know much about the defence because I didn't have an uncle or an auntie who was in there already who I could ask. So to peel back that curtain and sort of get a first-hand experience of what jobs were available, what the lifestyle was like, and sort of what the benefits were, but then also looking at it from a side of what was really inspiring me to join. So I've just
yeah. Now, so like so what would you say, do you go to many of these careers days for schools and that, like, or
I do go to those careers days in support of Defence Force recruiting, but yeah, it's more about, I think, just gathering as much information as you can, because then you can make an informed decision. So before I joined, I was looking for people who were inside, who I could talk with, people similar to that of Grant, and asking them, how long have you been in for? What's the pay like? What's the lifestyle like? What's it like being on an active base and that? So once I gathered all that information, I was really able to go into it whole 100%, buy in and everything, because everything that I heard about it was just appealing to me, and I knew that it was going to benefit myself and my little family at the time, so.
I know with my older boy, when we went to one of those, that it was at Broadmeadow, but it was the Army, and they were really selling it, like the wages, and but also sport. Now we were talking beforehand, so sports are still a big part for because I think there'd be a lot, because a lot of our mob are so athletic. They'll be thinking, oh well, that means if I join the Defence Force, and one of those, I can't do sports or that. Is that true?
Absolutely not. So sport is a big part of our organisation and our culture, and men and women at elite levels, they can be identified and recognised and supported through that. Obviously, there's a process, but it is something that can be done. One of our lads, one of my technician buddies, so outstanding example. He's almost on his way to go and play gridiron in the States for a college team. Great. And he's been supported through that with the help of the ILA network and the organisation itself. And he's been able to train and be posted somewhere where it's beneficial for him to train and come up to that level. And it's not, that's a very unique thing about our organisation. And it's great to see. And a great advertisement, and it doesn't stop when you put on the uniform. Your choices don't stop. If that answers that.
Just a quick question, like talking with two men here. Are there many of our women, Aboriginal women, in any of the forces that you know of?
Yep.
Yeah, definitely. I think myself and Grant know, many females who are in there. Across all three services, so obviously is Air Force, Army and Navy, and throughout my time, when I joined back in 2018, I've met just as many Indigenous female members as I have male Indigenous members, so
okay.
It's definitely, and at the moment I think we're recruiting more female members too, so we've had a real big spike and increase in attracting more towards the female side, so we've been able to amp up through our numbers and that, and that's my experience.
Yeah, my our youngest daughter, she's going through the process at the moment, and through that, it's and the support we have, some great women on base and lending themselves out as mentors if she's available, and it's not because Dad wants her in the Defence Force. It's her choice, and you know, she has to take the next step, and there are people there willing to lift you up, and you're not there yet, and that's another great thing about, you know, just our community and culture in general, not just men and women in uniform.
Yeah,
they want to raise up. So
100%. Currently, we have more female Indigenous liaison officers than we have male. Wow. And the lady who oversees what we do nationally, the senior Indigenous liaison officer, she's a female as well. So
cool.
Widely represented within the Air Force, and especially within the Indigenous space. So yeah, it's really good.
So with those careers days, as I said, like if it's one of the Defence Forces, they also talk about job opportunities, like trades, especially. Mm. One of you want to get more on,
I think from a job opportunity, I think Grant's probably
travelled
around.
What are the different
around.
Types of trades that you can get?
So from my aspect in the aircraft side, I'm a mechanical ATEC with avionics, aircraft electric, ASTs, structural fitters.
Yeah.
They're usually in demand. Our life support fitters, Bunyara Jones.
Yeah.
She's exceptional. And watching her progress into the future as well. We're also supported by administration, logistics.
And that all just comes as a part of the
it's an organized.
It's all for free and all that, isn't it? I know that's one of the biggest selling. And you get paid a wage too, don't you?
Yeah.
Well, look at degrees. Like if you go down and get a degree as part of the Air Force, the degree is paid for.
Yeah.
There's nothing hanging over your head. But that's all part of the recruiting process and what you find out. And defence, I'm going to plug it, defencejobs.gov.au.
Yeah.
Have a look on there, and as you pointed out, educate yourself.
Yeah.
Find out what is available. Okay. So get on the front foot from the get-go and get those questions. And there are people wanting to help. And
I suppose once you've got a foot in the door and you've established yourself, whatever choice you go with, some of the perks, just listening to you two before about, because you're with the Air Force, you actually get to travel a bit too. So is it just around Australia or overseas too?
Myself, I've only traveled nationally, but I know people like Grant have gone internationally and to some of the probably best places in the world too. So it's very lucky.
Yeah. I'll let Grant tell. Yeah. So just as consequence of being in in a fighter squadron, got to travel to the Middle East, Guam, that's where America gets its starts its day. So Japan, very lucky to go there. Las Vegas, been
Las Vegas.
It's just where the exercises are, right?
It's
an amazing.
Do you get to choose any of these?
Oh no, I'm just purely along for the ride, and this is
You got to wait till he tells you about the time he was forced to stay in Hawaii. So that was poor Grant.
Yeah, that's a tough conversation for the wife to hear that, and it's a hard sell. It's definitely a hard sell, but these are awesome opportunities, right?
Yeah.
We don't have normal jobs.
Myself, just on a national. Looking at nationally, I've travelled to Perth, Broome, Brisbane, Western Australia countless times, Kalgoorlie, and I was lucky enough to get sent up to Arnhem Land for Gama a couple of years ago. So, you know, there's even opportunities on the home front to travel around Australia and go to places that even myself, as a proud Aboriginal man, I haven't even been to Western Australia. So that was an eye-opening experience to meet some of the mob over there and see how their culture differs from ours on the East Coast. So very interesting.
Yeah. I used to be in the arts a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
And the perks of just where it takes you.
Around
I've seen so many small towns, been to the capitals, you know, and even traveling overseas. It's just, if I didn't choose that path and commit to it, I probably would still be just only between Toronto and Newcastle.
You see a young Brady Bin and Stevie Ahoy.
Yes.
They're cultural. They're some of our...
Oh, Stevie Ahoy,
So Cheryl's grandson.
Yes.
So just their talent yeah. on that alone has taken them to play in military tattoos,
yeah.
Ceremonies. Brody's been to Turkey for Anzac Day,
yeah.
and just these opportunities, and they connect and just bring their culture into our culture to the forefront. And these examples are, they have to be shared, and not just for promotion's sake, but for the sake we deserve to be there and put ourselves in the picture. So
I'm going to ask you one more question before I get into some of the lighter stuff. Why should our mob join? You probably got a lot of them out there saying, this country, this government, why should I go? And I think when you think of the Defence Force, you think, defending. And a lot of our mob might go, why should we do that for them, white fellas, in this government? Why should our mob join one of these, if they're not really doing anything in their life, why should they choose one of the Defence Forces as a career path?
Well, initially, it's an easy question. We've been defending this country since the dawn of time, right? So in that regard, defending our land that's a natural thing.
Never thought about like that. I feel like that here some days, but no.
Some days. But
when they won't bring me my tin tins, but anyway.
But Penny Walsh's grandson, Mick Allison. So he's a WO1 in the army. We're on a course in Canberra one day and sitting there solving the world's problems at dinner at the end of the day. And he said something pretty profound. It stuck with me that I didn't know I needed the army until I got in there, and just the discipline that was required and the focus that he got out of it, and where he's got to. So to go to become a WO1 in the army, that's no mean feat. It's pretty amazing. It's only little things like that. They stick with you and the reason behind it.
Yeah.
It's, and as mentioned before, the lifestyle that comes with it. But just a few points like that just makes a difference, right?
Yeah.
And I'm a big believer too when I hear mob talk like that, and I think, but look, if we don't get in there, then how do we educate them? How do we just be that link between us and them? So, okay then. I'd like to just say, here's some, when I was thinking about interviewing you guys, I was thinking, jets and that. And do you get to ride in those really fast ones much? Is that like something you can just say, does anyone want to come for a double?
Benefits of being in a fighter squadron.
Does one of the pilots go, anyone want to come for a double today?
Oh, you have to earn them. I've been very fortunate. I've been up twice. I'm not a very good passenger, so I don't want to tell you the results, but it's,
have you puked?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I can't even go on the teacups at the show. But you're not going to give up this opportunity. If someone says you're going to get in the backseat of a fighter jet. Speed of sound, that's...
Yeah, good. That's what I wanted to ask also. Oh,
that's amazing. The first time I did it, there were no clouds, so there's no reference. You just got this little display in front of you in the cockpit, and that's it. But then they put on the brakes, and then you go, that's it. They put out the speed brakes to slow down and to get thrown around and do the aerobatic stuff. Amazing. But I've paid for it after. But it's just a unique opportunity, right?
Something you just said then, I think it's when people are underwater and if the waves are crashing, when you could only just see blue, can you tell when you're up or down? Is that like a similar thing?
Oh, I had other things going on that day. But there are reference points, and the pilots are they're so awesome. You're trying to stay awake. They do these big G-turns and they sit there and look at you in their little mirror and go, he's had enough. And they just straighten up and they pull out the turns.
Even they see your head low.
Yeah, they see you just phase in like this and you go to sleep pretty quick.
Yourself, mate, you been up?
I haven't been up in one of the fast jets. I've been lucky enough to get up in one of the C-130s and We were able to do some community flights out to Lake Kajeliko and do some tack flying on the way back. So that was fun. Hopefully one day I'll end up in one of the Hornets.
What was the one you were talking about downstairs, the really big one that you put your fighter jets in?
Oh, the Antonov. Yeah. So the other, just the other week at RAF Base Williamtown, we had an Antonov land and come in to export two of our old Hornets, I believe, transporting it to Canberra, to Canada. Just being able to see such an amazing, massive airplane, it was quite something. As I said to you downstairs, it looked like a transformer when it opened up because the nose end of the craft actually comes up and our guys wheeled in two of our Hornets, which was just, I mean...
Is that the biggest in the Air Force?
Well, it's not an Air Force. I think it's a...
that'd be a contractor plane.
Contractor plane.
Is that the biggest you've seen?
I've seen, And due to the size, I think that we can only have 3 Antonovs land on our runway per year due to the actual size and weight of this thing. So if that sort of gives you a bit of context for it, this thing was massive. It could have swallowed other planes. That's how big it was.
But yeah, you see the traffic at the front of the base. If they know one of these planes is coming in, so there's a lot of plane spotters. And you see the end of the base every day. There's always someone there and
aviation enthusiasts coming up from the coast or Sydney or coming down from Queensland and that. There's a big bunch of people who just follow these planes around and they know where they're landing.
Every now and then you have a look and go, okay, you gives your job a bit of perspective. Like you go, if I could see it through their eyes again for a second. And when you see kids come through and they go, they're just there. And you're around them every day and you just take it for granted. But when you see it through fresh eyes, it goes, I do a pretty cool job. So,
is that Pilot World still there?
Yeah, Fighter World, yeah.
Yeah, yeah,
Fighter
next World. Door. Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah, great food.
Yeah, great food.
How many air bases are there around Australia?
So we've got 12 active bases and 5 training bases.
Are any of them remote or are they just all around major cities?
So we've got Learmonth over in WA. That's a remote base.
Tyndall's another remote one.
Been lucky enough to be posted there.
Where's that?
It's in Katherine, about 300 k's from Darwin. Very remote. You gotta like your people around you.
Did you get to go off country a little and see some of the sites around there?
Yeah, you get to go in. There's how many nations are in there for?
I think there's 5, and then in certain areas there may only be 3 or something because it's quite a large base, so it covers a lot of area.
It's amazing just to, you know, you're there for such a. I was there for 3 years with my family, and it was amazing, and the timing and being there at the right time. For us as a family was. And just to, you know, you see how far people travel just to get there. That's the starting point. That's where you get through Katherine. You take your left turn and head out to WA and Broome and that. Into Broome. And it's, you're living there. It's amazing. So you have to look at it with perspective when you're in these places. We also have Sugar up the top of Queensland. That's another remote base. A lot out there.
All right, we might finish up soon. The Warramai jet, the one that was, I've written down here, laid to rest, but is it laid to rest? Is that what they said on the news?
No. So
is it, because I heard you talking about downstairs, I'm thinking, do they just transport it somewhere and it's just, they take out the motor and it just sits as a statue type thing?
In a way, yeah, but I'm... like our guys, there's a whole process that they'll go through. So the process for the Warramai Hornet was called the decommissioning process. So in that, it just by becoming decommissioned, we send it to some of our techies who will sort of take out all the good parts off of it. And then because this specific plane is going to end up, because this specific jet is going to end up back at Fighter World as a permanent display eventually, We're making sure that the paint job isn't scratched or anything in the removal of all this stuff. So there's this whole process of making sure that we can take out all the good bits, but then make sure that we end up with it still being a true representation of the Warramo Hornet.
Yeah, yeah.
That goes into the painting that's on the aircraft. It's quite beautiful when you get up close. So.
And how was that day? I unfortunately couldn't get up.
It was great. We were able to get community members and elders from the Wanneroo, Warramai and the Awabakal people. It was a really great day. CO of 77 Squadron, I believe, put on one of the best air shows I've ever seen. Very impressed with Sir.
Yeah.
Probably the best aero display I've seen.
Yeah.
And I mean, you were there on that day. That was a pretty good day.
It was amazing. So yeah, I went from into that squadron. So I worked with the Warramai Hornet for about the last 3 years or so before we shut Hornets down. And just to be working on it, be part of it, and you know what it's about.
Yeah.
And it means something. And seeing that last day, the pilot at the time, he was flying that plane by hook or by crook. Such a display. Some people, was their first display. When you see it. And the following day, there was a big flyover for the closing down of 77 Squadron. Like I said, it means a lot.
Yeah.
When you're up there and you're involved with it.
Mm.
Just something you said then, like working on a specific jet for so many years, do you become a bit attached to them?
When
that day happened?
There's a connection, a lot of skin off the knuckles and work on the plane not knowing what it represents, but what the actual aircraft has done in its lifetime. Before it became the Warramai Hornet. I don't really think the Air Force thought this plane would grab so much attention.
Is there going to be a Warramai 2?
At the moment, I haven't heard of any plans. There's been talks and discussions that have been had, but it would be great to end up with another jet that we could, whether it be called the Warramai Hornet or named after another nation or tribe in Australia.
Use the Rodstar.
That's one option. I'll take it back to the commanders and we'll see what happens.
I'd appreciate that.
Very, very
sleek. Yeah, it is.
The Rodstar Hornet.
But yeah, I mean, like Grant was saying, although it is the Warramai Hornet, I truly believe it represents all of Australia's Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people, because when I see it in the air and I used to think to myself, wow, for such an organisation that... before I joined, I didn't really know much about. They've got, how much is it? Like one of the F-18s? It's a lot of money, and for them to spend more money on it and to to paint it in traditional sort of style and design, it means a lot. And as a proud Bundjalung, the Kamilaroi man, although it's the Warramai Hornet, meant something to me, so.
Yeah. Are there many like that around Australia? I've got the naming of a jet from country. Do you know? Do you know of any others?
Well, previously we've had platforms such as Wirraways and such, which are, I believe, language from the Wafarong. That could be wrong on that, sorry. But language from Melbourne guys who, it was the Wirraway and the, it's eluding me at the moment. There was another one named, but... the Warramai Hornet was the most recently, and hopefully we can do it again in the future and name a few.
But around Australia, was there any other jets that had Indigenous names?
Off the top of my head,
I'm not too sure. But
Rodstar is an Indigenous name.
I do like that. Yeah,
it means very, very fast when woman is chasing.
Don't say that. Yeah. Put in brackets, yeah.
Yeah, that's it.
And the image would be a very terrified face. But anyway, boys, is there anything you'd like to let us know, or any fun facts? Or
If I could just say to any of the guys who are listening, there's never been a better time to join the Defence Force.
Yeah.
Obviously, I'd love for people to join the Air Force, but as long as our mob are actively seeking employment and trying to better themselves and their families and being successful in the process, I mean, the ADF has a lot to offer our mob. There's there's great opportunities. The pay and the conditions are very great. And I mean, if it, you know, if it helps us to continue to better our communities and to better the lifestyles and the advantages that are offered to our next generations, and I'm all for it. And I haven't looked back since joining, so loved it.
Yeah. Well, defence as a whole, like you watch these young men and women develop and continue to grow, and it's a funny organisation because our goal is to produce the next. I want you in my job.
Yeah.
And my boss wants me in his job, and outside in the real world, if you said that, people would think you're mad.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't think we need you here.
Yeah.
But that's the organisation that we have, and that's the culture, and that's what we have, and that's what the organisation needs, right?
Yeah.
And as to reiterate that there's never been a better time for our men and women to join. Regardless of uniform. There's support wherever you want to be, wherever you are. Just put your hand out.
I always find, like, with a lot of our mob too, when they're saying, they're bored or they've got nothing to do, even just young ones especially, I always find talking to the people like yourselves from the Defence Force, structure.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to learn structure. And out of that, as you said, you can get job opportunities and trades. And but if you're, if you're sitting out there bored and you don't know what to do with yourself, you want someone... That's the thing about the Defence Forces. I just think, you know, it's like they do everything for you. All you got to do is just commit to it. And it'll give you all the structure and all and everything you need.
Mm.
Well, boys, Matt, I hope Grant, Sergeant Grant doesn't give you too much. What's the next step up?
Flight Sergeant, I hope.
Mm.
Mm. Does that give you permission then for people like me to walk on and just be a passenger?
keep those texts out of your hands.
So you know, it'd be good if we can do like a community video with you guys, and you can get me in there somehow. plus we need a seat for one of the film crew guys.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
Sitting there like that.
Who's coming?
They've just got a clamp there, like a baby seat on the outside. All right, boys, thank you very much for coming in. That was great. The information I've learned from you guys and the support that you've given us today, the information support for our community and just people in general who want something to do, who looking for a structure and goals and dreams, they can achieve it all.
100%.
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. It was a pleasure.